celebrating seniors, and I'd like to talk about developing a senior ministry. One of the job description items that I have as being the pastor of congregational care is developing a senior citizens ministry. And so I've been doing some thinking on that. And so today is not going to be so much of what we want to do to start the seniors ministry, but to be able to set the foundation of why we need to minister to our seniors. And I hope that I will make that clear as the message is presented to you this morning. Let us pray before I get into the message. Father, we just ask that you would accomplish something through the privilege that I have of being able to speak this morning. And Father, we pray that those who listen would benefit in some form or fashion too as we worship you together, as we continue the worship that we've begun so efficiently. And Father, we do pray for this direction of our church and the ministry for seniors, that you might really burden our hearts to be able to see that this is a vibrant, important ministry for our church in this day and age. And we will thank you as you reveal yourself through the scriptures this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A couple of months ago, I was sitting watching the Discovery Channel, and I was watching this program about a group of lions that was going through Africa, and it was all about them. It was all female lions for the most part. And you know, a male showed up once in a while just to be able to make babies or to eat their food. But otherwise, he wasn't in there. It was a pack of lions that was all females with their little young cubs. And while I was watching this, it was very intriguing. But while I was watching this show, what was happening was one of the females who was part of the pack, of course, you know, lions, they don't hunt by themselves. They hunt like a pack, and they bring down a big animal and feeds everybody in the pride. But what was disheartening was that as a female would grow older, she couldn't keep up with them as they were traveling from place to place to get food. She wasn't able to attack to be able to get into the hunt. And as time went on, what happened to this one lonely female, and if you know anything about a pride of lions, if you're all by yourself, you're not in too good of shape. And so basically what had happened is the pride, because of the emphasis on staying up with the younger folks and keeping up with the younger pack and taking care of the youngsters, they left the female behind. The female couldn't hunt. The female was very weak, and eventually she died. And I thought, wow, how sad. How sad that when the weaker you become, you're just forgotten about. But then I also thought about that in the idea of when we grow older, sometimes we as humans forget about those who grow older. We put them in a nursing home, we put them somewhere else, and we forget about them. Oh, we might visit them for the first few weeks that they're in the nursing home. Friends and family will be consistent and visit them. But ultimately, people who've been involved in the church for years and who've been involved in a very intricate way, they become seniors, and whether they're in a nursing home or whatever that might be, even constrained to their own home, many times they're forgotten about. And I think that's sad. Just as I felt sad for that one lioness who couldn't keep up with the pack and died, but yet everybody just left her because they kept on with life, they kept on with their busyness, they kept on with their goal of life, but yet they forgot about the older ones. And you know, I think the reason why all of us need to be concerned about a senior's ministry is because, remember, no matter what age you are today, you are going to be a senior citizen should the Lord desire to or give you the privilege of living that long. So because we're all going to be there one day, and more than likely all of us have seniors within our families, then we need to care about them. And I think we need to care about them in a more ministry-oriented way. And I know we have some who minister at nursing homes and so forth in our church. We appreciate them, but we as a church can get better with this whole direction of life. So I began to set out. I said, okay, if I'm going to have a seniors ministry, I got to define what I'm doing. I'm kind of a person who likes to know where I'm going and what I'm doing. So I said, well, first of all, I got to figure out what age we're shooting at. What age are we shooting for to be a senior? Now, why are you laughing? All right, in legislation, in other words, with our government, the term applies to the age at which pensions are given and Social Security and medical benefits, and the elderly become available at that time, which is usually 65 years of age. One can retire in our society at 62, but receive only a portion, not a full benefit of retirement benefits. Because of the average life expectancy and the stresses on the federal government, Congress has passed legislation to gradually increase the full retirement age from 65 to 67. So there I started. I said, 65, that's when you become a senior. I'm 63, so I got a couple years to go. So I said, good for that. But for those, I'm going to retire at 65. If you're one of those who comes under the umbrella of 67, you have to work two more years than I do. Ha ha. Many federally, state, and funded programs also qualify individuals based on age. For example, area agencies on aging across the states provide home-delivered meals, and that starts at the age of 60. So then I went, oh, no. Now it's 60. It was 65, I felt good, but now I fit because I'm 63. So now I can be declared as a senior in this application. In business applications, the term senior is often applied in different discounts that you can get at loyalty programs, restaurants, and so forth, differing by the store that you go to. Denny's and IHOP offers a senior discount menu for people age 55 and over. Uh-oh. Let me tell you a story. I'm with my 90-year-old mother at IHOP. We're having breakfast together. I am 60 years old. I'm having breakfast, and I order off the seniors menu. When the waitress walked away, my mother looked at me with this disgusted look, and she said, why did you lie? That is a true story. My mother still sees me as a baby. Theaters, they often give discounts at 60 years old. Goodwill Salvation Army has 55 years old. An automobile insurance agency offers senior discounts at 50 years old. So now you're seeing, oh boy, at this point I'm confused, okay? The Humane Society, 50 years old. Veterinarians offer discounts for animals at 55, so forth and so on. But the cream of the crop is when you are an AARP member. You get that at 50, don't you? 50. All of a sudden, you get this wonderful information in the mail, and I am not a member of AARP, nor am I promoting it. But that's at 50. So here, let me just say this. All this is going to just say that the boundary lines between middle age and old age in our society cannot be well defined. And because it cannot be well defined, therefore, where do we go and how do we minister? Many times, people only consider themselves seniors because of the changes in their activities or their roles, when they become grandparents, when their health declines, when they end up in a rest home. Some consider themselves seniors as they are invited to the AARP or qualify for Medicare or retire from the workplace. So a lot of people have a difference of opinion of what senior citizenship is. But I think Associate Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, who retired from the Supreme Court in 1932, has the answer. And he retired at the age of 90. Old is 15 years older than I am now. How do you like that? So the way I'm going to define senior today is anybody older than you? That's the definition that I want to use. And you'll see why I say that, because I think the way that we begin ministering to seniors is by ministering to those who are older than us in a very God-honoring way. And so therefore, you have your bulletin, we begin the outline, and it starts in the home. And the first verses that we're going to look at is Ephesians 6:1-6. And notice with me, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now here's the key. Honor your father and mother. I think the emphasis of respecting seniors begins in the home because of the fact that it says that we are to honor our father and our mother, and they are our seniors, no matter how old we are. Today I'm privileged to have a 92-year-old mother, and I'm privileged to say I honor her. I want to respect her. Of course, I caused many of the gray hairs when she was younger, so I can honor her now. But it's a privilege for me to do that. And so here's the key, is that we are to honor our father and mother, which are our seniors, and we should teach children to do that, shouldn't we? Because would that not move into later life? If they learned respect in the home, will they not learn respect for elderly people outside the home? Only one amen. So, it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Let's go back to the first slide, please. Notice this with me. Children, obey your parents. What are the next three words? Why are they to obey their parents? Why are they to show them honor? Because it's right. It's in the Lord, correct? Now, let's go to the next slide in verse 4 is on that slide. Yes, let's go there and look at this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction. What's the next three words? Oh, there must be an emphasis here, isn't there? There must be a reason. Now we'll go to verse 5. And it says here, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling." What is the next words? So there must be some type of motivation within you to be able to respect the elders within your area of influence, isn't it? And then we continue with verse 6, and it says, "Not by way of eye service as men pleasers." The reason we do this, the reason why we should teach this, the reason why we should train our young people to respect their seniors is not to be men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from their heart. That's where the respect for seniors comes from. That's why it needs to begin in the home, because if it's not taught in the home, it will leach itself into the society and their attitude outside the home, which will be exactly what we don't want, which is exactly where rebellion comes and hard workplace and so forth and so on, because there's no respect for the elder. There's no respect for the person who's in authority over them. And so it begins in the home, because listen to what Proverbs says. Proverbs says in Proverbs 23:22, it said, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Children need to respect their elders in the home, then they will respect the seniors in the world of which we live. Now, isn't it something that you can go on the news at any time you want and find children who are disrespecting their parents, can't you? Very consistent. I was actually going to, I did look up some news articles, but I thought they were so depressing, I didn't want to bring an illustration to that, because you know what that's about. Children disrespecting parents and even killing them because of the disrespect. And I don't want to leave that without saying I know that parents disrespect their children too. And I don't think that's proper also. So I just mention that as a sidelight, not presenting or putting the picture on just the children. But don't you see that when we looked at this verse, the fact is that the children should learn to respect, but where should it come from? To honor your father and mother should come from an inward commitment of your life that produces outward conduct within the relationship of what you have. What we are talking about is not teaching just the fact of respect for elders, but the fact is that we need to speak into their hearts and their lives so that they understand the reason why they need to respect elders is because it's pleasing to God and it honors and glorifies Him. And so that's why it needs to begin in the home. God has a promise for sinners. Point number two. God has a promise for sinners from Isaiah 46, 3 through 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. You who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb even to your old age, I will be the same, and even to your graying years I will bear you. I have done it. I will carry you. I will bear you. And I will deliver you. Now, just a little interesting sidelight. The reason why God presents this, and if you read the context of this verse, what happened is Israel was interested and gaining interest in idols. And they were putting these idols in their satchels, and they were carrying them around, and they were really trusting in these idols. And God got kind of upset with them and said, "What are you doing? Why are you putting so much emphasis on these idols?" And so what God does is God steps in and he goes, listen to me. Haven't I taken care of you in the past, in the present, and won't I care for you in the future? And I think that's the emphasis that God is trying to say here. Because notice with me for a moment. He says that you have been born by me from birth. That's the beginning. And you have been carried from the womb, that's the in-between time, even to your old age. God takes care of everything. He takes care of the past, the present, and the future, and he is reminding them of saying, listen, I'm going to be the same God to you no matter where you're at in life, whether you are young at birth or whether you are gray-headed and old. And that's God's promise for seniors. And we have to, as we minister to seniors, share with them hope. Do you know sometimes people who are in rest homes and people who've been neglected by their families and people who are alone are really feeling hopeless? They need some hope. They need some confidence. And you and I as a church and the body of Christ can go into a senior home and read to them different scriptures and read to them different things that God has emphasized and said, God has a promise even for you in your old age. Isn't that great? How comforting it is to know that God cares for us when we are born, because Psalm 139 tells us that also, by the way. And every single moment of our life, he wants to be the same God. And we need to tell people of the promises that God has for them and say, oh, you can have hope and confidence. Don't give up. Continue to keep serving the Lord right where you're at. Be a prayer warrior, whatever it might be. But give them hope by the promises of God's word. Not only should it start at home, and not only should we share the promises of God's word, but also we see in Scripture a senior's prayer to God, which is in Psalm 71:18. And that prayer to God is this: And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Isn't that a marvelous prayer? Isn't that a great motivation for a senior to be able to say, oh Lord, I've got a job to do, and I need to tell this generation and the next generation, I need to tell my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, I've got a job to do to tell them of your greatness and your love and your majesty and your wisdom and your word and what you have been faithful to me in all these years as my hair grows gray. The prayer should be from their heart, and we can go out and share that and say, listen, do you know what Psalm 71:18 says? It says you are so important to God that your job is to share his message with all these generations. He's not going to forsake you. He never has, he never will. Perish the thought. Psalm 71:9 says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. We have to tell our seniors that you have purpose in life. You have meaning in life. And you want to continue to honor God with your life no matter what age you are. No matter where you find yourself in life. The main goal is to please God, is to worship him, is to share his message with the next generations that come into your midst. An interesting sidelight to this, my cousin has a real interest in senior ministry, and let me tell you why that is. Because he goes and he interviews all the old folks in his family, my mom being one of those, my uncle being another one, and he interviews them and he records them. What happened when you were younger? What happened? When did you get saved? What troubles did you have in your life? And they just talk as my cousin asks questions. And then what my cousin does is come back and he makes CDs and he sends them to all of us. And he said, here's the testimony of Uncle Russ. Here's the testimony of Aunt Betty. And he's sharing with generations the wisdom of these people because one day they're going to be gone. And I think that's pretty neat. I think it's a way to remember and to share the testimony, not only with this generation, but with the generation that is to come. It's a great way to do that. Also, the seniors should be honored. Number four, the seniors should be honored. Leviticus 19:32, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you will revere your God. I am the Lord. God is saying, listen, you need to honor those who are older. You know, there's some societies that honor older people better than we do. You know that? They hold them in great respect and great honor. They would never do some of the things that we do here in the United States with a senior citizen. We don't hold them in honor as we should. And by the way, it's the reason why they should receive the honor is the person that they are. Not for maybe the accomplishments they've done or what they haven't done, but it's the person, not the position that they find themselves at the moment, but it's the person that we respect. When Job was having his discussion with his, quote, good friends, Elihu waited till Job has spoken. The reason why Elihu waited while Job had spoken, Elihu said, I am young and you are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid that I should show my opinion before you were done sharing yours. David, when he died riches and honor. He was only 70 years old when he died, but he also died with honor. And so we need to remember that the seniors should be honored because of the life they have lived. A senior should also share wisdom. In Job 12:12, wisdom is with the aged men, with long life is understanding. Do you know what's amazing to me? Have you ever noticed this? That sometimes people do not respect the wisdom of older generation, thinking it's stupid. Have you ever run across that? You know, that happened in Rehoboam's life. Rehoboam became the king in 1 Kings 12:6, and he decided to ask the old guys what they thought, and the old guys gave him the wisdom. By the way, it was right wisdom. And then he went to his young buddies who he hung around with and partied with, and he said, "Hey, what's your advice?" So the young guys said, "Hey, this is what we think we should do." So he rejected the old guy's advice, and he accepted the young guy's advice. And you know what happened to Rehoboam? He lost his kingship because he listened to the wrong advice. Am I saying that every time an older person gives forth wisdom, it's always right? No, I'm not going to say that. But I think it ought to be respected. I think it ought to be evaluated. I'll tell you a good story. My son, the first time that he really made a decision against my wishes, he had a halfway decent car, and he decided he wanted to buy another car. He had a Neon, and he wanted to get a Grand Marquis. Just used cars, nothing real, you know, not like brand new. But so he came to me, and he said, "Hey, Dad, I want to buy this new car. What do you think?" And I said, "I don't think you need a new car. Just forget it. Your car's fine. Just invest a little money in it, and it'll be fine. Just don't worry about it." And he was very nervous. And he said, "Dad, I'm going to go against you, and I'm going to buy the car." And I said, "Great, go ahead. Go buy the car. I mean, it's not going to affect our relationship at all." He's still driving that car today. It's been a good car. He made the right decision. And I'm proud of him for that, you know? But he still talks about that. He's 36 years old. He still talks about the time that he went against his father's wishes. But he was right. So I'm not saying that all of seniors are perfect here by any way, shape, or form. But what I am saying is I think their advice ought to be evaluated, because look at what the scriptures say. Wisdom is with the aged man, and with long life there comes understanding that is not there when you are younger. Isn't it amazing that a 5-year-old is smarter than a 1-year-old, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that a 10-year-old is smarter than a 5-year-old? Isn't it amazing that a 15-year-old is smarter than a 10-year-old? And so forth and so on. But then all of a sudden, and you check this out whether I'm right or wrong, is there comes a time in life where you become dumb because of your age. Isn't it true? "Oh, they're old fogies. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't, what? Wait a minute. Wait, why does that progression go consistently up to a certain age?" And I don't know what that age is, just like I can't define senior ministry. I can't define what age the people become dumb. But that happens. They don't listen to them anymore. They don't pay attention to them anymore. And so what we have to understand is that we do not want to always say, "When I was your age," that could get you into trouble. But you need to talk to the young people where they're at today and try to understand them where they're at today. I had a young person in my office this week, and I asked about some music that possibly could have listened to and so forth. And I'm glad I'm up on some of the music, not that I don't listen to it. I try to just read some stuff about what kids are doing, and because I don't want to become a stick in the mud and only know of Herb Albert or, you know, somebody. What? You don't know Herb Alma? All right, I got to keep moving here. I'm going to get in trouble time-wise. All right, then all of a sudden, seniors have a history of God's faithfulness. Psalm 71:17. "Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared your wondrous works." Isn't it great to think about the fact that an elderly person, for the years that they've traveled with God, has some wonderful ministry opportunities to be able to say how God has taught me from my youth, and I can continue to declare his wonderful deeds in life. God's faithfulness through all generations. And it's so important that we realize that the faithfulness that God has shown needs to be shared, because it's one of those things that's going to bring a concrete understanding to a young person's life when you say God has been faithful through all these years and given examples of what those are. My mom is one of the greatest ones that I could think of that has an example of God's faithfulness with a disabled husband, two kids, really a tough life in my estimation. And yet, my mom to this day continues to give God glory for his faithfulness through all generations. We've got a story to tell. We've got to encourage the seniors to get with it and not to be quiet. My mom, she's from that generation that you don't share your faith, you know. You're not bold. And of course, I'm the opposite of that. I go in with both horns or whatever and try to stir the situation up. But, you know, my mom, she's so quiet and so calm. And the one day I'm over there, and she lives in Bluffton at Maplecrest, if you didn't know that. And I was sitting on the front porch with another lady, and my mom and the other lady's husband just passed away about 2 weeks ago. And the lady looks at me and said, "Your mother is so wonderful." And she had tears flowing down her heart, her cheeks. And I said, "Why is she so wonderful?" "Because she's helped me with my husband's loss. And I thanked her for that." And I look at my mother and I say, "See, I tell you, you have stuff to do, so keep it up, you know." Number 7, a senior has a legacy. Notice what it says in Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men. How many grandpas would agree with that? Boy, that was unanimous. Perhaps you've heard of this. One man sitting with another man, and the one grandpa says to the other guy, "Have I ever told you about my grandson and showing you pictures of him?" And the other man said, "No, you haven't, and I want to thank you for it." Have you ever met a grandpa that brings out the wallet and goes, "You want to see my grandkids? I'll show you my grandkids." Here's what somebody else said, and this is great wisdom. He said this: "If I had known how wonderful grandchildren can be, I would have had them before my own children." They are the pride and joy to be around. But you know, here we have a senior has a legacy, and the fact is that there's children's children. And look at what's happening with your influence as an older individual within the world of which we live. The population of America is growing at an enormous rate to become older. The population of America over 65 will grow to 34 million to 53 million by 2020, says the Census Bureau. The over 85 population will nearly double to 7 million. Diane Dew wrote a great article about the graying of America. Every day in America, 10,000 people turn 50 years old. One out of every 5 people are now over 65, and many of these individuals live alone. In fact, the Census Bureau statistics indicate that 23.6 million people in the United States currently live alone. 38% are elderly. If today's church is to meet the needs of the society's changing demographics, it must develop a sensitivity to the special needs of the elderly. For example, take the issue of transportation. Poor eyesight, ill health may impair seniors from their driving ability, making accessibility to church services impossible or unsafe, particularly in inclement weather. Church and community food pantries should be willing to adapt to special needs of the elderly and accommodate their inability to participate in programs requiring transportation and pickup of goods. While medical science has succeeded in extending the average life expectancy of Americans, it has been confronted with the challenge to compromise on ethics. In the graying of America, issues once viewed as black and white, life and death, right and wrong, now have become gray or non-absolute. Thus, the issue of euthanasia has boldly been thrust into the foray of the societal debate. Whether termed mercy killing or murder, the immutability of Scripture unmistakably declares God's word unalterable in respect to the sanctity of all human life. Meanwhile, the dominion of darkness does not sit by. Knowing this, knowing his time is short, Satan has made it as his mission more than ever, as the enemy of our souls, to kill and destroy. As he conspired to legalize infanticide via abortion, he seeks today to slay the elderly, as well as by corrupting our courts with the evil of euthanasia. Statistics as of 2014, the number of Americans 65 and older is expected to nearly double by the middle of the century, when they will make up more than a fifth of the nation's population, according to the Census Bureau. Now, I know numbers can drive you nuts, but listen to this. By 2050, 83.7 million Americans will be 65 or older, compared with 43.1 million in 2012. Fewer than 10% were older than 65 in 1970. There was a little boy sitting on the bench with an old man. The little boy looked at the old man and he said, "I dropped my spoon." The old man said, "I do too." The little boy whispered, "I wet my pants." The little old man laughed and said, "Me too." "I often cry," said the little boy. And the old man said, "So do I." "But worst of all," the little boy said, "it seems that grown-ups, they don't pay attention to me." The little boy felt the old man's warm hand come on his and said, "I know what you mean," said the little old man. Seniors have a job to do till God calls them home, and that's it. Last one in Psalm 92:14. "They will still yield fruit in old age, and they shall be full of sap and very green." In other words, just because the outside of an individual is growing older, the inside is, it can produce great things for the honor and glory of God. Don't hold them in a compartment of saying a senior is of no value. You need to say, "I need to figure out how I can help them to see that they are important to God," and to be able to tell them with all confidence that, listen, you still have a job to do as long as there's blood flowing through your body and you're here on this earth. And I want to help you with knowing what that is. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of thinking about this subject. We pray, Father, that as our church moves forward, you give me wisdom. You've had give people the ability to know what position they can have, what part they can play in encouraging and ministering to the seniors, not only in our own church, but also in our community. And Father, we pray that the motivation to do this is for your honor and your glory through the promises of the Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.